If you'll grab your bulletin and open up to the inside, we are going to look at baptism and that theme today. And the first fill in the blank there says, have you ever had a near-death experience? So let me just see a show of hands. Is anybody here actually had where you were pretty close to death? Okay. How many maybe in the hospital because you were very sick? Okay, a few. How many on the highway? Okay, all the teenage drivers in the room, will you put your fingers in your ears right now and just go la, la, la until I'm done telling you the story about what a bad driver I was, okay? Okay, so here's what happened. When my first church that I served out of seminary was Buffalo, Oklahoma, out in the panhandle, just north of Woodward there. And every month, the pastors would get together. And because there was eight churches in the three counties of the panhandle, it's 180 miles across, so one month we would meet like on the eastern side, one month we'd meet on the western side, and it was our turn to go out to Guymon, I think. So I got up early Tuesday morning and made a thermos of coffee and got in the Chevy Blazer and headed off down west on Highway 64, and my coffee cup was empty, so I started to do one of these deals where you try to steer with your knees. I see you out there. And I was pouring coffee, and Margie, avert your eyes too. Margie says, you still do that. What are you talking about? Anyway, as I was pouring the coffee, trying to be careful not to spill, well, I was drifting over, and on Highway 64 out in the panhandle, there's no side of the road. When you go off the pavement, it's loose gravel and then down in the ditch. Well, my wheel went over that, dropped off the blacktop, and immediately, you know, kind of jerked me towards the... So, of course, the coffee went flying, and I grabbed the steering wheel and yanked the wheel back and spun back across my lane over into the oncoming traffic lane, and immediately back, and I just crossed over, back over the double yellow line, and it was double yellow because I was just cresting over this little hilltop when 18-wheeler semi comes, you know, and I don't know, 1 second, 2 seconds maybe, and it would have been a head-on collision, and I don't know whether I would have been killed or not, but it would not have been very good, I'm sure. But in my heart, it was a near-death experience, and normally we think about a near-death experience as not a very good thing. But today, I want to tell you about a near-death experience, my baptism, your baptism, that was a great thing and a great blessing, and it is a near-death experience. If you look in the sermon notes there, I pulled a verse from that second reading we heard today from Romans chapter 6, and it's in quotes there under letter C, and it says, our baptism is our spiritual near-death experience. And so Paul is writing here, and he says these words, do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And that means, in fact, do you know when we usually read this verse? At a funeral. We read it a lot. We read the verses that we read in our epistle reading today, that in Christ we are so connected to him in our baptism, in that faith in Jesus, that when Jesus died, our sins die with him, so that when Jesus rose, we get to rise and live with him here and now on earth, but also we get to live with him forever in heaven. So this is a near-death experience, our baptism, that brings us close to Christ's death and resurrection and is really a blessing for us. Now, maybe you've seen or heard this phrase. So we're going to have a lot of phrases that have the word dead or death in them today. Have you heard dead and buried? Oh, that's dead and buried. You know, and usually we think about, well, that's something, you know, that's completely gone. Well, this is what Martin Luther would say. So I'm wearing, this is Luther's seal. He used this symbol as a symbol of his faith. And the way he described our sinful nature, he called it the old Adam. Because basically what he was saying, you know, it's all the way back to when Adam and Eve first sinned. All of mankind has been impacted, infected, affected by sin. And he said, so we need that old sinful nature, that old Adam, we need that to die. And we need to have the new person, the new spirit, or the new Adam gets to rise. And that's what we call our faith. With that new faith in Christ, our new Adam arises. And what the Bible says is, before that happens, we were like in bondage. We were slaves to sin and the devil, and we could only really follow him until Jesus claimed us as his own, until the Spirit gave us faith. And the Spirit has promised to always work with his word, the Bible, and he's given a special promise to work with the word and the waters in baptism. So if everybody looks over here, we're not having a baptism today, but we have this candle lit over here, and we call it the Christ candle, because on this candle is the first two letters in Greek for the name Christ. In Greek, Christ means the same as the name of our church and school, Messiah, does in Hebrew. It means God's anointed and chosen one. So this is, the X is the Chi, and what looks like a big P is the letter Rho. Chi, Rho are the first two letters in Christ, that Jesus was God's anointed and chosen one who came and lived a perfect life where I could not and you could not, who died the death that we deserved and who rose again. And in baptism, we get connected to him. But we have the candle there, and one of the customs we have is when someone's baptized, we'll actually light their own little baptism candle that they get to keep. And I say, I encourage you every year on your baptism day to take out your candle and light it like you would on your birthday cake. And so that leads me to a question. Do you know your baptism day? I do, because my mom put this in my scrapbook, in my baby book. This is the bulletin from the church service where I was baptized. Now, I got kind of a neat thing because my dad, who's a pastor, got to baptize me too. And this is my little napkin that they use to wipe the water off my forehead. And we give little napkins with a cross embroidered on them to those who are baptized here too. And my baptism birthday is November 10th. So I'm going to challenge you all. If you've been baptized and you don't know what your baptism day is, see if you can find out what it is. And you know what I do? I put it in my smartphone so it beeps at me the day before every year. So mine's November 10th. So on November 11th, my phone's going to beep and say, hey, Mark, don't forget to say a prayer of thanks for the gift that God gave you in your baptism, because it is an awesome blessing. It is a freeing thing. That may sound strange, and I put this in the sermon notes, but I want you to think about this. If the Bible says we were slaves to sin until Christ set us free, until we got the gift of faith in him, how is our spiritual death freeing, and even our physical death freeing? So here's what I want to challenge you. What were you worried about when you got up this morning? Okay, so you don't have to say out loud, just in your mind, what have you been worried about this week? So I'll tell you, Margie and I, we've been thinking about and planning a kitchen remodel. And so I got a three-ring binder at home with cabinets and floor and knobs and lights and all this stuff. So we're trying to figure out not only what we want to do, but when we want to do it. And
how are you going to pay for it?
All that kind of stuff, right? So, and I would say we've spent a good amount of time and energy on it. I don't know if I'd even say worried about it, but anyway, it's consumed a lot of thought. But what if I found out that today was going to be the last day of my life on the earth? If tomorrow I was going to die, do you think I would care whether our cabinets were going to be white or eggshell white or Dover white? Do you think that would make any difference? No, I would be totally set free from worrying about any of that stuff, because I'd know, well, in a day from now, I'm not going to be on this earth. I'm going to be with the Lord in heaven forever. See what a freeing thing that would be? So we can even think about our physical, the time when our life here on this earth ends, as a very freeing thing. And I'll tell you why here in just a minute. So here's another great phrase. In the not just dead and buried, but number three, in the Westerns, you know, you might see this wanted poster up on the pole or on the saloon wall or whatever, and it always said, wanted what? Dead or alive. Well, God tells us something unique. We're wanted dead and alive. And you're like, wait a minute, now how does that work? Well, here's the reality for us as believers who still live here on this world. We are both a sinner and a saint at the same time. And this is some language that Luther used to describe really what Paul talks about in in one of the epistles. You know, Paul says, you know, I'm a believer in God, and as a believer in God, I want to do what God wants me to do. There's all this good stuff I want to do. But Paul said, I don't do that. And the bad stuff that I don't want to do, I find myself doing that. And what Paul was realizing is that as believers who are still here in a sinful world, in this sinful flesh, we kind of have this wrestling match going on between the sinner and the saint. So we did what we did today. We confessed our sins. We say, God, I've fallen short. Or as we do with the kids, in my thoughts, my words, or what I've said or what I've done, my deeds, I've broken God's law. And yet, then we hear that word of forgiveness and to say, but all that's forgiven, and now you're holy. You've been washed clean, like we heard in the psalm today. So we still have this sinful nature we wrestle with, but we have this new spirit that wants to follow God. So we're sinner and saint all at the same time until the day when God brings us home, which that is the ultimate before and after scenario. Have you seen these on TV, like the ad? It's usually for an exercise program or diet programs. They use this a lot, right? So I hate to even do this, but I'm going to do it. The before always looks something like this, right? And you know they're putting the and then the after is like, you know they're sucking it in, and they're like, hurry up, take the picture because I can't breathe. You know, so you got the before picture, and then you got the after picture. Well, there is an awesome before and after picture when it comes to faith and this gift of life in Jesus Christ. So what's the before like? Well, this is the way the Bible describes every human being before Jesus comes into our hearts and lives. And it says spiritually, we're these three things. And it's not a very pretty picture. We are dead spiritually. We're blind spiritually. In fact, we're enemies of God. We really don't want to have anything to do with God. That's the before. Then the Spirit comes. Then through the power of God's Word, and for me, it began in the waters of my baptism. I was only 3 weeks old. Through that water, that promise of God attached to that water and that gift of faith, now comes the after. So before was dead, now we're alive. Before we were blind, we couldn't see or understand or even see, you know, what God was up to. Now we get to see. And that's why I like the light. It's kind of like we were in the dark spiritually, and now we have this light of Christ to show us the way and to show us God's will. So, dead, alive, blind, now we can see. Enemies of God before, now children of God. And as children of God, you know what? We get to pray that awesome prayer. We're going to pray it again today, and we get to pray those first two words of the prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father. We get to call God Father. Wow. That is definitely a transformation. That's even better than a wiggly caterpillar that goes into a cocoon and comes out as a beautiful butterfly. That's a pretty amazing metamorphosis or transformation, but that's nothing compared to what God's going to do, even with these physical bodies right here, which takes us to Roman numeral 4. When my wife Margie's back there, right? So when Margie and I got married, we put these rings, we exchanged rings, and you know, it's a circle, and it's a symbol, you know, that you can't see a beginning or an end. And in our vows, like many of you that are married exchange vows, and you said, you know, I take you to be my wife or my husband, I love, honor, cherish, and so forth, until what? Death us do part. Until death us do part. That we'll be husband and wife, God willing, until the day one of us dies. Until death us do part. And there is a pretty amazing thing that happens at death. And spiritually, I want you to think about this. Spiritually, when that old Adam, that old sinful nature dies, then a new spirit, a glorifying spirit, a spirit that wants to praise God, wants to worship God, wants to do what God wants to do, rises. And even these things right here, our bodies, when death comes, there's going to be a parting too, and it's a good thing. So grab a hold of your body somewhere. You can grab your hand or your leg or whatever, your ear, your nose, okay? So hold on to a part of your body while I say this, until death us do part. Physical death also means a rebirth. It means a rebirth of these bodies here. And like I said, it's great the kids sang the butterfly song here, because it is pretty amazing to see the transformation of a caterpillar that can go in a cocoon and then it comes out. You know, you think it's dead. It looks like it's dead. There's no life there. And then this beautiful butterfly comes out. And again, Christ has promised, he said, I died and I rose again. And he said, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to raise up these very bodies of yours. And he said, I'm going to transform them and they will be amazing. Now, Scripture doesn't give us the total picture. I don't think we could even grasp it. I mean, who would think when you look at a caterpillar that the butterfly would come out? And look at these bodies here and say, wow, I wonder what God's going to do with this body when he raises it back up. So that's the until death do us part. Now, I am a big sci-fi buff, and I like the zombie movies. Anybody else out there? Oh, come on. I'm not the only zombie liker, right? Yeah, World War Z, and then, of course, there's a series on TV called The Living Dead. And, of course, you know all the zombie genre, basically. It's these bodies that are dead, and they're walking around. And kids, that's all just pretend. That's not real, okay? But it's kind of fun to watch. And yet, I want you to think about that phrase, the living dead. The deal is, they're dead, but they're walking around like they're alive. And I want you to think about that spiritually. Because today we heard this verse. You see it up here? Jesus told the disciples then, and if he was standing right here today, he'd say, you guys still have the same job to do. I want you to go and make more disciples. And here's how you do it. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them. Teach them to follow. Teach them about my word. So we have the same job today and the same promise. He'll be with you and me as we do that. And the same power, he says, we go in his authority and in his name. But here's what I want you to think. Who do you know that is the living dead? And this is what I mean. Somebody that's, obviously they're alive physically, but spiritually, in their heart, they're dead. They don't really know Jesus. They don't know Jesus, the Jesus that the children were singing about today, the Savior, the one who loved them enough to die for them. And the truth is, we all know somebody who doesn't really know Jesus that way. The way I often think of it is, who do we know that's close to us, but far away from God? And these are the ones I think God is sending you and me to. So if you look in the sermon notes, there's actually a blank that there's no answer for in my little answer box, because the answer is the person that the Holy Spirit is going to put on your heart today. And I said it this way, who is your, or my, go and make disciples target? Who is somebody you know, they might be in your family, that doesn't really know Jesus as their Savior, the one who gave his life for them? So I have the name of my brother-in-law, Lawrence, written down here, because he grew up in the church and then as a teenager just kind of rejected all that and left it behind. And he's married to my sister, Susan, and he occasionally will go to church with her, but I really don't know if Lawrence in his heart of hearts would say, I believe in Jesus, that he died for me, he rose for me. So he's one of my targets. And also some of our neighbors on our block. And I put them down because I don't really know. I don't see them necessarily going to church, but that's not the only sign that somebody's a believer or not. But so for Hugh and Lori and for James and Julie, I was thinking, well, I need to find out. I need to make a connection with them to find out, are they alive spiritually and physically? So I want to challenge you to take the bulletin home with you and write down, ask the Spirit to lead someone to your heart and to your mind, and then start doing this. Start praying for that person. I'll be praying for Lawrence and my neighbors, but also start praying for yourself and how the Spirit's going to use you to make a connection, to connect to them. So you're going to have to invest some time and some energy and effort to do this. That will be part of your going and making disciples. And so you want to build a connection with them to you, get to know them, but ultimately you want to build a connection to Christ. You want to connect them to Christ. That's our calling. That's our commissioning. And it's great that we do go in his power. You know, right before that, Jesus said, here's the power. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus said, now go. I am sending you with my power. And here's the purpose, making the disciples, baptizing and teaching. And you see the promise at the end? Read it with me, the very last line. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we never ever go without Jesus. We never ever go without his Spirit. We never ever go without his power. We never ever go without his promise and his presence. Go make disciples. Amen. All God's people said, amen.